If you were asked to complete this statement, life is ... what would you say? Some of you may have an answer right away. Others of you may have to ponder on it for a little while. Life is ... So I decided to ask my children this question. First, I asked my son, Jonah. Jonah, what do you say life is? He said, what? So his first response was living. So I asked, I said, okay, a little bit more, Jonah, what does that mean? Then he said, it's your heart and your brain, right? I said, a little bit more. Then I think he said what he thought I wanted to hear him say. He said, it's God. I'm like, okay, Jonah. Then I asked my daughter, Savannah. Her response right away, well, what does it mean to you, Mommy? That's my challenging child. So then I decided to say, as I prepare for my sermon, let's see what my Facebook friends will say life is. Some of their responses were a bunch of challenges. Life is a bunch of challenges, choices, and memories full of responsibilities. Life is what you make it. Life is adventure. Life is full of purpose. Life is a journey. Life is trials and tribulations. So then I took it one step further, and I Googled statements about what life is. And I'm going to have to tell something. When I first decided to do the sermon, in my mind, I kept thinking, life is like a box of chocolates from Forrest Gump. Then I sat in a session with Reverend Julian, so it's not my fault. I had in my mind, I was going to have some chocolates scattered around the room. And then Reverend Julian made me rethink. So, chocolate lovers, I'm sorry, it's not my fault. I had to go a different way. Amen. Amen. So, a few of the favorite quotes that I found when I Googled life is. Life is like a camera. You focus on what's important, capture the good times, develop from the negative, and if things don't work out, take another shot. Everything in life happens for a reason. No matter how hard or how unfair it may be, something better will always come out of it. Then, I love this one because I love mnemonics. H-O-P-E means hold on, pain ends. Life is not about waiting for the storm to pass, but learning to dance in the rain. Then this, I think, was my favorite one because I changed it. It said, what is life? They say it's from B to D, from birth to death. But what's between B and D? It's a C. So what is a C? And so they said, C is a choice. Our life is a matter of choices. Live well, and it will never be wrong. But then the Holy Spirit showed me the C is Christ. I'm choosing Christ, and if you live for Christ, you will never go wrong. Amen. So those were just some Google statements that I chose to share with you about what life is. So then finally I began to think, well, what does life mean to me? Getting back to my daughter's question. Not only to me, but what does life mean as we reflect on all the events that have happened to us in the world around us over the last few weeks? As I reflected on what life is, I began to think about what life might mean to children. Life to most children are carefree and filled with joy and laughter. But what about the 13 children held captive in their own home? How would they say life is? Life for a person with reasonable health is great. But what would a person whose immune system is compromised because of a disease say life is? Life is for a person employed and that has health benefits, it's beautiful. But what would a person who has just been terminated from their job say life is? Life for a United States citizen is comfortable. But what would an undocumented immigrant say life is? Life is for a person that has never experienced sexual harassment or abuse. It's all good. But what would a person who has lived that experience say life is? As I thought about that last one with sexual harassment, I thought of two examples. Being a little transparent, I can recall about the age of 16, my first job, and I was a server / cashier. And it was about time for closing, and I can recall my boss saying, I need to go to the bank. You know, can you go with me? It's 10 o'clock at night. And I could have been that naive teenage girl and said, okay, all right, I'm going to go. But I said, no, I need to call my mom first. And thank God I called, because I wasn't thinking anything of it. And thank God I did call my mom first. My mother was like, why would he want to take you to the bank at 10 o'clock at night? So that was an experience, I guess, of some type of sexual harassment for me. And then I thought about my great-grandmother, who lived to be about 94, and sharing during one of our family reunions, we found out that she didn't talk a lot about her childhood because she had been assaulted as a child. And for years, she never told us. We never talked about it. But finally, again, she shared it with one of my aunts, and to this day, that's something that we know happened, but God. So as I read through the book of Jeremiah, what I discovered in my studies was that Jeremiah is the prophet to refer to when we find ourselves having to live through difficult times and when we need to have some trustworthy help. Jeremiah's troubled life spanned through one of the most troublesome times in Hebrew history. The decades leading up to the fall of Jerusalem, followed by the Babylonian exile. Everything that could go wrong during Jeremiah's time did. And Jeremiah was in the middle of it all. He lived through crushing storms of hostility and furies of bitter doubt. I think Jeremiah is now one of my favorite. It's because he told it like it was. If you get a chance, I advise you to read through the book of Jeremiah. He's talking through all of the exile that's going on and all the tribulation, but he's like really frank with God, and God is speaking to him and giving him words throughout this whole situation. And just as Jeremiah is living in a period not too different from the disruptive times that we are living in, exile for the Babylonians had to have meant children being displaced and women and possibly even men being sexually abused, people being deported, not knowing if they would ever see their loved ones again. We see a similar type of exile every time we turn on the news. The displacement of the 13 children that I mentioned, the possible deportation of immigrants, layoffs by seemingly well-known companies, exile within our communities and our government. As I was talking with my sister the other day, she works for the school system and she teaches in a population of half African-American, half Latina. And she shared with me a story of one of her students. She said a student came in crying because her father was in a car accident. And she was fearful because he had to go to the hospital and she didn't know if he would get deported. The lives for the people of Jeremiah's day were terrible. Life for Jeremiah was terrible. Life is for us. ... But Jeremiah had the responsibility to help share the meaning of hope that we see and that is written in Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14. Jeremiah is reminding the people that yes, life is whatever you put in those dots, and God has a plan. Even in the midst of the evil things that are happening, God has a plan. As it was in the lives of the Babylonians, so it is with our world. Today we must remember that God has a plan. In Jeremiah 29, 11 and 14, he has laid out what I like to call life is God's six-step plan. Knowing, calling, praying, seeking, finding, and restoring. Step one, knowing is knowing, Jeremiah knew God's plan because it was told to him. In Jeremiah 1, it says, I knew you in your mother's womb, a prophet to all the nations. So he is instructing us on what he already knows. That God knows what he is doing with you in the midst of your circumstances. Now you must realize that for yourself. Know that you know that you know that you know that God has a plan. Remember, it says that I know what I am doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future. Plans for hope. And that hope is what we know as faith. Step two is calling. When you call on me, I'll hear you. Jeremiah called out to God. In Jeremiah 9, we find Jeremiah calling and saying, Master God, look over the trouble that we're in and call for help. So we too must call out to God in the midst of our circumstances. Your call may be, Lord, give me strength. Your call may be, Lord, hear my children, cover my children. Lord, order my steps. Step three, praying. It says, when you come and pray to me, I will listen. Throughout the book of Jeremiah, he prayed often. And what is prayer? Prayer is a conversation with God. And that's why I think I really loved reading through Jeremiah, because it was just a bunch of conversations, especially in the Message Bible. It really helped you hear Jeremiah's voice. He was pleading for these people in exile, and he was speaking on their behalf. But then he had to let them know, this is what God is saying. I talk to God. We have the Bible to talk to God and to give us revelation. But he had those personal conversations with God. So we have to continue to pray, which is our step three. Step four and five kind of go hand in hand. That we must seek and find. That we must seek and find. When you come looking for me, you will find me, is what the word says. Seeking and finding requires your whole heart, looking for God in the midst of the circumstance. Jeremiah is asking people during his time that have been in exile for 70 years. Can you imagine going through something for 70 years and the prophet comes to you saying, you know, God is in this. Kind of like the situations that we see today. We're hearing these things that are going on and people want us to say, you know, to remember that God is in the midst of this. And we have to remind ourselves as believers that it's not easy for people that don't believe to know that God is in the midst. So we have to continue to seek and find God even in the midst of those situations when they don't seem so easy. Then our last step is restoring. Restoration only comes if you have allowed your faith to sustain you in the midst of your circumstance. One thing that we must take note about Jeremiah being a prophet is that it wasn't easy, and it's not easy today. He knew all about the exile. He knew all about the circumstances of the people, but he knew he must fulfill his purpose to give hope in the midst of terrible times. As I was doing my research and I looked up the children, the 13 children that were held in captivity with their family, I learned something interesting. They were permitted to journal. And we know that journaling can be therapeutic for whatever reason. But who's to say that that journaling will not help heal them later? So even though that situation is so terrible, God can still have a plan and help them through what they're going through that journaling. As I thought about my grandmother and her situation, she lived 90 plus years. She shared with us through her healing. It took time, and it takes time with all of us to get through whatever situations and circumstances that we have to go through. So I never answered my daughter when she asked me, "What do you say life is?" So I'll answer it now. Life for me is knowing that God has a plan. I can call on God, I'll pray, I'll seek, and I'll find God in the midst of my circumstances. And in some time, I'll get restoration. And as I close, I was flipping back through Jeremiah, and Holy Spirit led me to Jeremiah 5, 26 through 29, which speaks to all of the events that we've been hearing and that I spoke on today. And it was almost as if God was like giving assurance. Yes, we know that God has a plan and we know that he knows the plans for our lives. But when the word just like speaks to you, it was like a confirmation of God hears everything that's going on. So it says, "To stand for nothing and stand up for no one. My people are infiltrated by wicked men, unscrupulous men on the hunt. They set traps for the unsuspected. Their victims are innocent men and women. Their houses are stuffed with ill-gotten gain like a hunter's bag full of birds, pretentious and powerful and rich, hugely obese, oily with rolls of fat. Worse, they have no conscience. Right and wrong mean nothing to them. They stand for nothing, stand up for no one, throw orphans to the wolves, exploit the poor. Do you think I'll stand by and do nothing about this? God's decree. Don't you think I'll take serious measures against a people like this?" So as we think of all the situations that are going on around us, God knows he's not going to stand by and just let it happen. God has a plan. Amen. If we take a moment and think about the plans that God has for each of us, in the midst of our circumstances, in the midst of our trials, it may not seem like there's a light at the end of the tunnel. It may not seem as you're going through your hurts and your pains, but we must remember that God has a plan, so we can take a moment of silence as God speaks to you.